Good morning, church. Thank you, Josiah, for that scripture reading, pulling double duty, working the sound booth back there and controlling all that, and then coming up here and reading scripture. And I like it in person, Josiah. I think you look better in person than on the screen, so
I prefer it that way. It's a beautiful day out today. Yesterday was a beautiful day. My wife and I, we were at a farmer's market yesterday out in Baytown. We were trying to hustle some coffee with my parents, and you walk around, you get to meet some of the other vendors, and there was a woman there, and she was selling pecans that were covered with sugar and cinnamon, I think, and they were delicious. And I got to talking to her for a little bit, and she gives a part of what she makes to help those in need, and she wants to do that with her business. And she talked about the idea of her business growing so she could hire people who would have a hard time getting a job somewhere else. And that was kind of her vision, and I thought that was really neat. And of course, she was a Christian, and we talked about that. And while we're there at the farmer's market, my oldest son calls me, and he's asking me, can we do this or that? And then he says, well, our neighbor, next door neighbor, knocked on our door and said there was this woman that came. She saw a woman come from our backyard. She walked out, from our backyard. And the neighbor tried to speak to her, and she only spoke Spanish. So that's what they were trying to knock on the door to see if my wife was there to talk, to see what was going on with this lady. And I said, well, that's strange. I said, well, is everyone fine? Like, yeah, she's gone. Everything's fine. Okay. And it dawned on me as we were sitting here, because I thought, should I introduce my friends to the church or not? And we have some friends that are with us from out of town, and they're sitting here. And it dawned on me when that happened that we're connected with these friends that live in another state, and they're passing through, and they're connected to us through our friendship, but they're also connected to all of you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though you don't know them, you have a relationship with them. And I thought about the lady who's selling those pecans, and through Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with her. And when I got home yesterday, I talked to my neighbor. What was up with the lady in the backyard? She's like, I don't know. She was walking around the neighborhood and going to each tree in the neighborhood and like praying. And she went to the big oak tree in your backyard and was praying. And that made me feel a little better. I don't know what she was praying about. I'm hoping she was praying to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thought, maybe I got a relationship with this woman who I've never met, who was wandering around the neighborhood praying for everyone. But whether or not I do or not, that relationship that we have comes through what we're looking at today. Okay, we got to keep that in mind, that Jesus' death does not just save us from our sins, does not just save us from our sins, it definitely does that, but it also binds us together and connects us in a way that is deeper even than our relationships that we have with our very own family. Our parents that gave birth to us. You're related to your parents because they gave birth to you, or to your siblings. But if you're related to them also through the blood of Jesus, that's even a much deeper relationship. And so keep that in mind this morning as we go through this as well. We're going to look at, of course, the crucifixion today. And I also want you to keep in mind that this is the culmination of history. I mean, this is the climax. This is what everything has been leading up to. And it's from this that everything else has been moving forward throughout time. Like, this is the culmination of everything, is the crucifixion. Jesus laying down his life to pay for the sins of mankind, God's own creation, so that God can be reconciled, put back together with his creation, with us. That's what this is all about. Jesus is that bridge, and that's what it is today. You've noticed probably that we have not yet taken communion. I asked told Stanley, let's do it while we're focusing on this, because this is what it's all about. When we get together each week, this is what we're remembering. We're remembering all of this, and it's so much. It's so much to think about, so much to take in. It's difficult to do it in a short time when we take communion, when we take the bread and the wine, and we're remembering the death of Jesus, remembering his body that was beaten, that was hung on a cross, the blood that he shed for us. But we remember even beyond that, what that means going forward, how that connects us, and that when we think of the body, we think of not only Jesus' body, but also the church. We think of one another in that. And that's why it's communion. That's why we do it together, because this is our time to remember our Savior. And so I don't have anything. I mean, you've probably heard the story of, the communion story multiple times, I'm hoping. Thousands of times, I'm hoping you heard it. I hope you know it very well. I don't think I'm going to come with at you this morning with any new information. I really just mainly wanted it to be more of a time of reflection and remembrance and focus on Jesus' death on the cross. And we're going to combine that with communion. So we'll keep it simple. I have been told in a very nice way the last few weeks that I'm breaking records left and right on length of time of sermon. So to make up for that, maybe today's will be a little shorter and we get out of here a little earlier. And this is so interesting. One thing that with Christianity that I have found in the last few years is that, I mean, sadness and just heartache run side by side with joy, right, and happiness. That's part of what being a Christian is all about. And really, even looking at the crucifixion, we're looking at it in one hand and we're heartbroken. And we're saddened by what they're doing to our Savior, but at the same time, we're filled with joy because of what He went through for us. And it's very hard for those emotions to coexist, but they do many times throughout Christianity, and even in our walks day to day, following in the footsteps of Jesus. This is what we see and what we find. I have taken the four Gospels, and I've just followed a common harmony and kind of picked them, and I've put them together. So as I read through this, I'm going to be jumping from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back and forth to try to capture the whole story. Some parts of the crucifixion story are told in all four Gospels. Other parts, you only get it, you know, here or there. And so we're going to look at that or read through that. And so that's what I will be doing. And I just want to encourage you, it would be difficult for you to flip through your Bible and follow along. And I don't have the slides because I don't really want you reading it so much as just listening. Listen to the story. Listen to what happened to our Savior on that day that the history of the world had been leading up to. And I believe at the end of that, I hope you have your communion. If you haven't, we have some on the back there on the table. And we will just take that bread and that juice to remember at the end. Sound good? All right. Let's move on. We'll say a prayer before we start this. So if you bow your heads with me, please. Our Holy Father in heaven, we just come before you right now, Father, in prayer. We know it's through the blood of your Son, Jesus. It's because of him that we are able to come to you now, because of he clearing that way, he tearing that curtain that separated us, Father, that gap. He ripped it away so that we can come to you in prayer, and we know you hear our prayer, Father. We know that you love us. Father, right now we just want to thank you so much for who you are, for being a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of compassion, the God that saves us, Father. We know you made the sacrifice of your Son so that you could be with us. We don't fully understand it, Father. There are things we cannot fully grasp, but we do know that you love us, and we do know that you want to be with us, Father. We pray that we never take this for granted, that the death of your Son, Jesus, is always on our minds, always on our hearts, Father. Father, we're so grateful that he rose from the dead. Father, we know it's because of that we too one day will rise. But Father, we don't want to run past the crucifixion. We want to remember the blood that he shed in place of us, Father, on our behalf. And so we just give you all praise and glory and honor, Father. We pray that you remove all things that are distracting, Father, from our minds. Father, we just want to focus fully on your Son this morning and his death on the cross. And it's in his holy name that we pray to you. Amen. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon the Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if the people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also let out with him to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, and saying to him, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Near the cross stood Jesus, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining. At 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happen so that scripture will be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. It was preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb which no one had ever been laid. Joseph rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he had been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. We read this in a matter of minutes. And of course, we know it took at least 6 hours for Jesus to, or at least he was on the cross for at least 6 hours. And we say on the cross, and we mean that so lightly. And we see pictures, you know, we see a crucifix or we see a picture of Jesus on the cross. And it's hard to just look and to not think about the pain that was there. The nails that more likely went through his wrist and the one through his feet. And that he hung there and had to lift up on and push himself up every time he wanted to take a breath. And he had not slept the night before. And he already had the wounds from the scourging on his, across his back. And even while he was hanging there, he still had the presence of mind to ask for forgiveness for others. To welcome a thief into his paradise with him. To look after his own mother. And of course, all of this is done for the creation that rejected him. And for you and for I. And so we are connected. We are a part of the body of Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice for us. Sure, many people have been sacrificed before Jesus, and many more would be crucified before Jesus, and many more would be crucified after, but never the Son of God. Only one time was the one who had no sin ever put on the cross. And he did it for us. Our lives matter. Our community matters. We have worth in the eyes of Jesus. We have been paid for. We have been bought with his blood. And that's what we remember. Our community together through his blood shed on the cross for us. Our salvation from the sins that we have committed individually, collectively, as all of creation. And that's what we're going to remember this morning. And so if you will, prepare your bread. We'll say a prayer and remember the body of Jesus Christ. Holy Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you and we're thinking of your Son. We're thinking of his physical body, Father, the one that whose skin was broken across his back, who bled from his head with the crown of thorns, Father. We're thinking of his wrists that were pierced with nails, the nail that pierced his feet together, Father, to the cross. And as he hung there and bled, Father, we know that blood was holy. Father, we know it's that blood that covers us. And so when you look down at us, your creation, you don't see our sins, Father, but you see purity. You see your Son, Father. He paid that debt for us. And so we're remembering his body, Father, that was beaten, that was hung, that was pierced in the side, Father, and that was taken and was buried into the earth, Father. That's what we're thinking of and remembering now. And Father, we know that translated into the body here of believers at this congregation, Father, and throughout all the world, that we are one with your Son, Father, and through him we are made one with you. And we're giving thanks to you for that, Father, and remembering that now. And it's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. If you will, prepare your cups for the fruit of the vine. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we know that you have in the past taken sacrifice of animals as offerings for your people, Father. But we know that could never truly cover their sins, Father. It could never cover our sins. Only the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, Father, and he willingly went to that cross and hung and bled for us, Father. Father, it's hard for us to understand and to comprehend what all was entailed on that day, Father, but we know that your love was present, and it's your love for us, Father, and your creation is why Jesus bled. And so we remember the blood that he shed, the blood that covers us and pays for our sins, Father, as we drink this cup. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. No, it's as we focus on Jesus' death, we know that the resurrection's coming, right? I mean, we know it's coming. If you don't know, you go to the grocery stores and you see all the Easter candy for sale, and you know it's coming. That's when we celebrate it, kind of in our country and around the world. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but the celebration of Jesus' resurrection should be happening daily in our lives. And of course, every week we get together and we remember that resurrection. But we don't want to run past that crucifixion, right? We don't want to hurry past it too quickly. Jesus died in our place. That should propel us in our lives. That should motivate us to live more fully in the kingdom of God. We've been given an opportunity to have citizenship eternally in God's kingdom. And that doesn't start after you die. That starts when you accept the salvation that Jesus offers us and when you're baptized. And so now, today, if you haven't been, start to live remembering that Jesus died in your place so that you can live. You are free from those sins. That blood pays for it. Too often, I think we go to bed and we wonder, man, if I die, am I really going to heaven? I mean, I've done so much. Can God really save me? And we got to get those thoughts out of our mind, because when we think that way, we're thinking that Jesus' blood's not enough. And it is enough. And it covers us. And we are free to live for him without sin and death burdening us any longer because of what he did on that cross. So remember that and let that push you forward to live holy, righteous lives, being a light in this dark world. Thank you all very much. This is also your invitation. If you have not accepted that free gift that Jesus paid for, this is the time to do it now as we stand and sing.